The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
The Fed considers tough new rules for mid-sized banks.
The Fed is now wondering whether they went too far in unwinding some of the post-financial crisis rules for medium-sized banks in 2018.
Plus, Ohio sues Norfolk Southern after the East Palestine derailment. And piles of trash in Paris as pension reform protests continue. It's Wednesday, March 15th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We are exclusively reporting that the U.S. Federal Reserve is rethinking its rules for mid-sized banks and could potentially extend restrictions that currently only apply to the biggest Wall Street firms. Those rules, including tougher capital and liquidity requirements, as well as more rigorous stress tests of banks, could target firms with between $100 billion and $250 billion in assets. About 24 banks within that range currently escape some of the toughest requirements. We will have a lot more on the Fed's proposed banking regulations, as well as how Silicon Valley Bank's creditors are preparing for a possible bankruptcy when we speak to Journal Markets editor Matthew Thomas later in the show. And one big question that remains is whether the market volatility that was caused by SVB's collapse will impact the U.S. economy. Investors will get some clues to the state of growth today with the release of February's U.S. retail sales figures. Journal reporter Harriet Torrey says those figures, which are set for release at 8:30 Eastern, will show whether Americans pulled back on spending after a strong start to the year.
Retail sales are definitely something that the Fed watches closely, but the report also has a couple of drawbacks. The numbers are not adjusted for inflation, so sometimes it's hard to tell if people are spending more or if it's just that things have gotten more expensive. The other factor is that retail sales only look at certain types of retail spending. It doesn't account for most of the services spending, like travel and spending on services such as doctor's fees and dentist cleanings and things like that. But it is definitely an important gauge of consumer demand. It's one of the first looks that we tend to get at how consumers are performing in any given month.
However, analysts surveyed by the Wall Street Journal don't expect the strong spending to continue and are forecasting a 0.4% drop in February retail spending. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost has sued Norfolk Southern in a bid to hold the company financially responsible for the February 3rd train derailment in East Palestine. Ohio wants the railroad to pay for damages to natural resources and property, as well as to make payments for economic harm done to the state and its residents. Yost's office has cited Norfolk Southern for 58 alleged violations of state and federal laws. Norfolk Southern said it looked forward to making a final resolution with Yost and his office. Turning overseas, China's economy is rebounding amid signals that GDP growth appears broadly on track after the country's zero-COVID exit. Figures published today show a moderate rise in retail sales, a sign that consumption is taking over as the engine of China's growth, as factories contend with sinking exports and the real estate sector continues to shrink. China is also hoping to get a further boost from tourist and business travel as the country plans to reopen its borders. Holders of valid visas will now be able to enter the country after foreign travelers were largely banned following the onset of the pandemic. Unions in France have called for new nationwide demonstrations today to protest against President Emmanuel Macron's pension reform. The plan to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64 by 2030 is currently before Parliament and has triggered a wave of strikes that have paralyzed everything from railroads to sanitation. WSJ reporter Naomi Biserb in Paris tells us that more than 5,000 tons of trash are now lining the capital streets.
The government expects hundreds of thousands of workers to go on strike and take to the streets across the country. Some metros and trains should continue to run, but sanitation workers have voted to extend their strike, so garbage will continue to pile up in Paris streets. Mr. Macron and unions are showing no sign of backing down. Mr. Macron says raising the retirement age is the only way to preserve France's pension system without raising taxes or increasing the country's debt.
Strikes will also be top of the agenda when British Chancellor Jeremy Hunt announces his latest budget for the UK today. This morning, he unveiled further government support for household energy bills in the hopes this could bolster consumer spending. Though, as WSJ editor Paul Hannon explains, rolling strikes among teachers, nurses, and other public sector workers are hurting growth.
It's been dragging on for months. It gets in the way of the government fixing a lot of the problems it knows that it faces. And the government is in a better financial position than it was when Mr. Sunak took over, partly because the economy is kind of held up better and their tax revenues are higher. So, you know, money has become available to address this problem. These are not going to be massive pay increases, but they'll hope that they're enough to settle some of these disputes and get back to a sort of like normal way of working.
And coming up later today, software maker Adobe will headline a relatively quiet day for corporate earnings. And keep an eye out for a lot more AI buzz following OpenAI's rollout of a new version of its viral chatbot, ChatGPT. The Microsoft-backed startup touts that the bot is now more powerful and less prone to problems.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITheroes.
Now, let's return to our top story today amid news that the Fed is rethinking a number of its own rules related to mid-sized banks. We are reporting that this could extend restrictions that currently only apply to the biggest Wall Street firms to smaller lenders like Silicon Valley Bank. And we have also learned that creditors of SVB's parent company have formed a group through which they hope to profit from a sale of the collapsed firm's units. And here to unpack all of that and more is Wall Street Journal markets editor Matthew Thomas. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Matthew. So first up, we learned overnight that a group of creditors of Silicon Valley Bank's parent company are planning for a bankruptcy filing of the bank. Break this down for us and what's happening here.
Okay, so I guess if I could take a quick step back, right? So the story so far is that Silicon Valley Bank was taken over by US regulators on Friday, and that was essentially an attempt to contain the fallout after a bank run. And one thing the Fed did immediately was say they would guarantee depositors, right? So we know depositors are going to get their money back. We are almost certain that equity investors will not get any money back because they tend to always take the first loss when there is a bankruptcy proceeding. But there is an open question. How much money will bondholders get back? It's not going to be 100 cents on the dollar, but it's also very unlikely to be zero. So what we have seen over the last few days is a group of distressed debt investors essentially making a bet that they will be able to recover from any bankruptcy proceeding more than they're paying for these bonds. And these bonds have traded as low as 30 cents on the dollar, right? And when I talk about these bonds, this is SVB Financial. That's the parent company of Silicon Valley Bank. They've got around $3.4 billion of bonds outstanding, at least at face value.
And to be clear, if they are able to make a profit off of the sale of some of these assets, that money is not, I don't know, put in a pot that the federal government's going to be going through to try to make depositors whole again, or might it?
No. So any money that they are able to get back after a bankruptcy proceeding will be after the depositors have paid back. So we know the depositors are covered. They will be made whole first. But then there will be asset sales. There are obviously open questions. Anytime there's a bankruptcy filing, or a distressed situation at a bank or a company, asset valuations plummet because everyone's running for the exit. Distressed debt investors tend to be more patient, so they are betting that after depositors are paid back, there still will be enough for them to make a significant profit.
And Matthew, these bondholders are fine to do this, right? This is kind of a parallel process to everything that's going on with the government involvement in shutting down SVB. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. We should see them as two separate processes, right? The government is managing the shutdown of the bank, but there are open questions about what that really means. So SVB, for instance, bankruptcy is not the only option here. SVB could be sold. The UK subsidiary of SVB has already been sold. It was sold to HSBC for £1, so about $1.20. But a key point is HSBC did also take the liabilities of SVB on its books, right? So it will make depositors whole, but any bondholders should get their money back as well. The distressed debt guys, presuming there is a bankruptcy proceeding, they will be waiting around to get their money back a lot longer than the depositors. The Fed will at that point likely have stepped away and done most of its work.
Right. And one thing that we've been discussing this morning, Matthew, that the Fed may do to prevent future bank collapses is tighten its regulation of certain banks. What is jumping out to you here?
The key point here is that the Fed is considering whether they went too far in unwinding some of the post-financial crisis rules for these medium-sized banks in 2018. We're talking banks with between $100 billion and $250 billion of assets. That's basically the sweet spot to avoid the strictest capital and liquidity requirements imposed by the Fed. The Fed is now wondering whether it actually should impose tighter rules again. Now, we're told, as we're often told in situations like this, that the Fed was already considering this. This is not just a gut reaction to the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. But of course, the sense of urgency is much greater now.
Matthew, is it clear, though, whether the changes that the Fed is now considering could have actually prevented SVB from collapsing?
Probably not, because this was as complex as some of these headlines look when we talk about tech startups and banks for crypto. This was really an old-fashioned bank run, and that is more about confidence than about capital regulations. However strict your capital requirements are, no bank will be able to pay back all of their depositors if they decide to take their money out on the same day. And that is essentially what happened to Silicon Valley Bank. Now, of course, there are questions about whether stricter capital requirements would have made those depositors a little bit more confident. That may be the case. But I don't think in most cases, depositors who are hearing rumors about other people withdrawing their money make a considered analysis of that bank's capital position. They take out their money and then they ask questions later. So on an institutional level, maybe it wouldn't have made a difference. But the point is to strengthen the banking system as a whole.
That was Wall Street Journal markets editor Matthew Thomas. Matthew, thank you so much for breaking this all down for us.
Thank you.
And finally, it might be time to check your calendar's privacy settings. Many people use their work calendar as a sort of ongoing to-do list, assuming that it's private, only to be surprised how much they're actually sharing with their colleagues or bosses. WSJ reporter Deping Chen interviewed one person who scheduled a not-so-private colonoscopy reminder and someone else who reminded themselves to collect a roast chicken from the supermarket that actually clashed with a product meeting. Though thankfully, she says it's possible to avoid similar embarrassment.
For anyone, I would just say check out your calendar settings or ask a friend at work to look at your calendar and see what's visible. If it says busy, you're in the clear. And if they can see all of your doctor appointments and therapy sessions and reminders to drink water and take a nap, maybe consider adjusting them. It's useful if companies can tell their employees, first of all, what the standards are in an organization, because a lot of these defaults are set by companies. And so an employee might not necessarily know what their settings on the calendar are. And then beyond that, if employees have choice, then of course, that's something that can also be communicated too.
Worry not, Wall Street Journal podcast colleagues, your calendars are indeed private. And that's what's news for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITHeroes.